So I'm here to talk to you this morning about family and family at Christmas. And it's a really mixed bag, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it brings up all sorts of different feelings and different things when we think about family at Christmas. But the first thing that came to mind when Johnny asked me to talk about family is actually the verse that God spoke to me when I was very young. I was probably about 11 or 12, and I was attending a local church where I was living at that time. And he spoke to me about the verse from Psalm 68, verse 6. God sets the lonely in families. And I felt him just speak to me at that time about how he'd placed me in that church family. And actually, they were my family. And that church was such a blessing. And I learned from them so many things about how family works. And I was able to be in relationship with lots of different people of different ages and different stages of life. And that was an amazing blessing. And so that's kind of the overarching thing of what I'm speaking about today, is actually I think God wants to do that for some of us here today. He wants to speak to you about how he's placing you in this family here in Bognor, how he's called you here, and what he's about in doing that. So that's kind of where we're going with today. So there's not particularly one scripture that I'm basing everything on. We will be coming back to various things, but we are going to be having that overarching thing in our minds. So I looked through some of the current Christmas adverts because how is family shown in the media at Christmas time? You've got one lady, Dawn French, there, who has the perfect Christmas, everything set out, no expense spared, but she's all alone, and she realises that's not what Christmas is about. You've got another lady who's searching for the perfect Christmas gift for her sister, full of anxiety, searching everywhere, thinking back through all these memories of times they've had together, but it's not sorted until she's found that one perfect gift. You've got other images of mountains of food beautifully prepared and presented with everyone getting along perfectly. So maybe it's not Christmas unless that's how it is. And then you've got a bunch of carrots. So I went with, sometimes we're a little bit weird, but we're perfectly happy with that. So maybe that's your family at Christmas. But basically, the media is all about this wanting, this image, this projection of perfection, isn't it? So I thought I'd show you my family. So this is my immediate family, and I've entitled it Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them. So my kids are very aware that we're pretty weird as a family, but we're okay with that. And here we've got some little shots of us, and it all looks pretty perfect, doesn't it? And I would agree that actually my immediate family are amazing. I love them to pieces. They're crazy, but we are looking forward to spending Christmas together. But there's been a really long journey to get here. And I'm going to be sharing some of my personal story this morning. This is what God's brought about in my life. But this is not where my story began. This is not my historical necessary experience of Christmas with family. And it's only by God's grace that this is the image that I can show you today. And as I have to remind myself, and Luke has to remind me every year, it's not going to be perfect. And I have to be okay with that. So the next place I want to go is your family. Okay, so that was my family. So I don't know what your experiences are. There are some words up there, some more positive, some less positive. I don't know whether you're dreading Christmas this year. I don't know if you're looking forward to it. I don't know if you're going to try and make it perfect like I do every year. The chances is, whatever you think it's going to be like, it won't be what you expect. You might spend the whole time feeling like I do. I don't feel very Christmassy. And putting yourself, I should be feeling Christmassy. It's Christmas Day. Why am I not feeling Christmassy? It's not Christmassy enough. Or you might be a real party animal and you think, right, come on, this next party, I'm going to really have the most best time here, and it's going to be Christmas and it's going to be New Year and it's going to be fabulous. You might have to negotiate tricky relatives or complicated relationships, or you might have the most amazing Christmas. It's relaxing, full of joy and peace, surrounded by loved ones. It'll probably be somewhere in between the two, won't it? There'll be parts of both within your Christmas. But the question that I want to ask this morning is, why do we even care? Why have families at all? Why does it matter? Why is this connection important to us? Why does it disturb us so much when they're not correct or not helpful? We know from an evolution point of view, however you feel about that, you know, it creates safety, it populates the world. But actually, there's something more than that, isn't there? Actually, they found that we are made for deep connection as human beings. So the World Health Organization has done a worldwide study about social connection. And they found that in today's world, 1 in 4 older adults is suffering from social isolation, and about 5 to 15% of adolescents. And they found, and I was really surprised by this actually, that it affects your physical health. You're at a higher risk of early death. You're at higher risk of anxiety, depression, suicide, dementia, cardiovascular disease, strokes, if you're suffering from social isolation. We are made for connection. And actually, they went on to say that the safety, prosperity, and effective governance of whole communities depend on us having that social connection and that social adhesion. So again, I come back to why. Well, as a Christian, I have to come back to Jesus. And I believe that there's a pattern in the whole of our world of creation, decreation, and recreation. So if we go back to the very beginning, how the Bible tells it is that there was Adam. God created him because he wanted to be in community and fellowship with Adam. And then Adam wasn't happy on his own. It wasn't enough for him to be alone. He needed that connection with others. And so out of his side, as his equal, God created Eve. And they were supposed to be with God in complete connection and complete connection with each other. Totally satisfied in that. Every need met emotionally. That was the creation. But then came decreation. Adam and Eve chose not to trust God. They chose to go their own way. Sin came into the world. They became broken. And we see from that point on, humans began to break and hurt each other. And vulnerability was no longer a positive thing, but it was something to be taken advantage of and used. But then we come to the recreation, God doing something about it. God sent Jesus into the world. And through him and his work, he's creating a new family, a new humanity, a new people. That's recreating what was damaged and broken by sin. Now, to look at this properly, we have to go a little bit into the Trinity. I'm not here to preach about the Trinity this morning. It's a massive area, okay? But we have to understand that God was never just one lone bored deity creating humanity out of a frustration because he didn't have something to do one day. Oh, I want a bit of entertainment. Let's create mankind. Can watch from a distance. Might, you know, kill a few millennia. Actually, how God is portrayed is God 3 in 1. And that's mind-blowing, isn't it? Because actually, throughout the Bible, God is portrayed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A loving community, giving to each other, serving each other, totally fulfilled in that. Now, it's a real struggle to understand God as one, three in one. Bear with. So this is like us. We're 2D on our plane. Imagine this is God, 3D. If you put the 3D into the 2D, you can see sometimes it looks like two, sometimes it looks like one, but it's very hard for us to understand three in one from our two dimensions, because God is outside of our dimension. He's bigger than us. So we're trying to understand something that's far beyond. But isn't that what God should be? He shouldn't be understandable by us. It's only in our arrogance as humanity that we'd ever think we could. There we go. That wasn't my thing, by the way. I take no credit for that. But maybe that helped. So we are made in the image of God. God has existed for all time as a loving, sharing community, a self-giving being. And he's created us in that image. God, at his core, is others-orientated, self-giving, and relational. We weren't created out of him being bored or frustrated. We were created out of an abundance of his love. In his loving relationship in the Trinity, there was so much love that he wanted to share it with us. And so he created humanity. And his image, his idea is that we can participate in a community of love with him, with full relational safety, vulnerability, trust and acceptance of each other. And we're supposed to find that in him. But we're also supposed to find that in the church. Because part of God's recreation is building this new humanity, this new people, this solution to how the world has gone, and this brokenness and lack of connection is God's church, the family of God. Now, we know it's messy, it's not perfect, but actually God has always been honest about that. When we look at Jesus' family tree, there are some people you really would not put in there if you were trying to big up your genealogy. Okay, if you were trying to sell yourself as the Messiah, you wouldn't add these people in. You would hide them, and even more so in a shame honor based society, as the Middle East certainly was in that time and can still be today. So if you look at some of the, we'll focus on the women for now, but these, not only were women added into the family tree, which you wouldn't have done, but you have Tamar, who's a part-time prostitute, who slept with her father-in-law, which produced one of Jesus' ancestors. You've got Rahab, who was a prostitute. You've got Ruth, who was a foreigner from an enemy nation. You've got Bathsheba, who David committed adultery with and then had her husband killed. And you've got Mary, who in that culture was a pregnant, unmarried teenager. That is messy. And yet it's publicly there in Jesus' genealogy, because God meets us in our mess. He meets us where we really are, where our families really are. Sometimes where the church really is. But he has this plan and this vision for this recreation. So when Jesus arrived on planet Earth and he was born and he lived and he began his ministry, he was asked, what are the most important things? So let's just turn to Matthew 22, verse 37. So this is Jesus talking about... Sorry, phone. His mission. Just got to find it on my Bible now. Typical, the app's not working because I've got it online. Sorry. I think it's faster to use technology and it's not, is it? So Matthew, you'll all have found it by now at least, won't you? 22 verse 37, okay. So they said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So what did Jesus see as important? Your connection with God and your connection with others. It's back to that self-giving, others-orientated, loving being that we are made in the image of. And that's how Jesus saw that we should be as human beings. The second verse that I want us to look at, which hopefully I'll be quicker now, is Micah 6, verse 8. So it's talking about what pleases God or what does he require of us. It says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." That is the Bible's version of what humanity is made for and what we're supposed to look like. And so what God wants for us is to live in our true identity as connected beings, bringing us and others wholeness. So we come to this vision of what God has set in place, which is his church. And if you've been in church for any length of time, or even maybe a short amount of time, you'll know that the church is not perfect, but it is God's answer to the brokenness in the world. It is God's answer to living in connection with others. And one day, the church will be perfect. One day, the church will be a bride fit for her king, fit for her bridegroom. And God is working that through. And maybe you've not really thought about this before, but actually God is about this process of recreation, of restoration. And we come back to this verse that I started with from Psalm 68. God sets the lonely in families. Maybe this morning, it's the first time that you're hearing that God desires to be in relationship with you, that he's made you for a relationship with him, that actually you're never going to be fully whole, fully as you are intended to be as a human being until you are in his family. So maybe you want to step into God's family for the first time. And could I just encourage you that you can speak to, if you came with somebody, or you can speak to Johnny and Kim or myself or loads of other people here. We'd just love to talk you through coming into relationship with God and becoming part of his family. Maybe God's speaking to you more particularly about joining this family in Bognor. Again, I'm going to be quite honest. When we were in our 20s, we joined a church and we threw ourselves absolutely 100% into it. And it didn't end in the way that any of us would have wanted. And it created a lot of hurt. And by the time we moved to Chichester in 2009, in my heart, I had said, "I'll go to church, but I'm not going to give myself relationally like that again. I'm not going to put my all into it. I'm not going to put myself in that place of vulnerability where I can be hurt like that again. So we went along to Chichester, and, you know, there were ups and downs there, but that was fine. And then God said, move to Bognor, and I said, no. And he said, move to Bognor. I was like, all right, I'll get a bigger house in Bognor. I'll move to Bognor, but I'm not going to go to Bognor Church. I don't know why I had this real thing. A lot of people seem to have that thing about Bognor, and it was, I don't know why. I was like, no, I'm not going to go to Bognor Church. And God was like, go to Bognor Church. So I went to Bognor Church. Okay, but I'm not going to love Bognor Church. I'm going to go. I'm being really honest with you. This is what goes on in my heart, okay? I told you I'm not perfect. And I was like, I'll go, but reluctantly. So I went, and I was like, I'm not going to love it. Not going to love it. And then there were some difficult times. I was like, see, God, told you it wasn't going to work. I should never have gone to Bognor. It wasn't the right place. And so it was like, stay in Bognor. I was like, okay. And then over a period of time, things have changed. And Johnny and Kim started leading the church. And I was still a bit like, we'll see how this goes. But actually, God has worked on my heart, and I can honestly say now, I woke up one day and I realized that despite my best efforts, I loved this church. I love the people in it. I love Bognor. I love being part of Bognor Church. I love Johnny and Kim. I love being part of their leadership team. I love what God is doing here. And I realized that I'm all in. And that was despite me trying not to be. God changed my heart. And now I'm completely vulnerable again. So if it all goes to pot, I'm going to get hurt. That's fine. But God did that in my heart over time. And there might be some of you where actually God's working in your heart. Maybe you've been hurt before. Maybe you've never really been part of a church family before. And it feels a bit risky. Well, just see what God's doing in your heart. And actually, if you're feeling that this is your family, that this is where God has placed you, is it perfect? No. But it is God's solution for this broken world. It is God's solution for Bognor. It is where we work out our vulnerability, where we're safe, where we can be accepting of each other, where we can learn to trust each other. A community of love with Jesus at the center, changing us and bringing us together. And like the 10-year-old or 12-year-old me, maybe it can be a place where you learn what family can be like. Maybe it can be a place where you can learn to relate to people that are different ages and genders to you, different life experiences to you, but you can learn to relate to them in a healthy way. Hopefully it's a place where we treat each other like brothers and sisters, and fathers and mothers, and we learn how those relationships are supposed to work in God's kingdom. So I believe for some of you, he's calling you to be all in, to step into this church in a new commitment. For others of you, maybe you are in the place where you're still very hurt from what's happened in a past church, and I just want to say to you, it's fine, you don't need to rush it. God will deal with that in his time. If you're genuinely open to him working in your life, he'll bring you through to a place where you can trust and where you can be vulnerable again. And that's okay. It's fine to sit with him in that place and allow him to do that. And we're here to pray with you this morning, just to minister to you in whatever way you feel you need. Maybe for some of you, it's your immediate family this Christmas and you've got struggles maybe. Like Johnny said earlier, it's your health. Maybe it's emotionally. Maybe it's your mental health over this Christmas period. Maybe you just want some prayer into that. Maybe you just want to pray with the person that brought you or that you're here with that's your friend. Maybe you just want to, as Kim leads us in worship in a moment, just allow God to minister to you. Maybe you want to come and ask for prayer. But I believe God wants to bring restoration into your immediate family situations and then your extended family. Maybe your family, your nuclear family is fine, but actually you've got some really tricky relationships to negotiate over this season, and you'd just like some prayer for wisdom and grace for that, because family is complicated, isn't it? But what I really want you to grasp this morning is that God sets us in families. The church is his family, and it can be your family. God loves the church. God loves you, and he wants what's best for you. He wants you in connection. He wants you whole, and he wants you in a place where you can be safely vulnerable and, you know, meet the needs of others and have your needs met too. So that's kind of where I want to land it today. Let's worship, and let's just be open to what God wants to do and speak to us as a church.